Yeah, we have to get to Dr. Hanan anyway.
Absolutely. All right, here he is, the great Dr. Hanan. Hey, it looks like you've got some power there for a change. You're not in the dark.
Yeah, I know. Jeez, thankfully, otherwise I'd have to sit in the car again.
I know, how embarrassing. But here you are, the great psychologist, Dr. Hanan. And we were talking earlier about this report that's just been released by SADAG about one in four South Africans who have depression. Apparently costs the economy 20 billion rand annually. You believe that?
I actually think it's much worse. I think depression is on the rise. I think anxiety is on the rise. Think about where anxiety levels and depression and insecurity and frustration and anger were, I don't know, 20 years ago versus where it is now.
What are you trying trying to depress us? What the hell, man?
I'm part of the problem and part of the solution.
Oh, what's wrong with you? Here we're having a nice, happy Monday morning. You have to bring on the depression. All right, so, Doc, if that's the truth, we've got some serious issues, not just in South Africa, but in the world. And we're maybe only coming to grips with them now, but it's something we need to take seriously. I mean, if it costs the economy money, then it's everybody's problem. It's not just the problem of the depressed people.
Of course. I mean, have you ever sat in a room with an anxious or depressed person and think it doesn't affect you?
No, I leave straight away. When I see them, I get the hell out.
So it affects you on a micro level in whether you're having dinner with them or dinner in a group or whether you are part of, you know, their social circle, and affects us globally. There's a domino effect. People that are depressed, they don't want to get engaged with life. They don't want to get engaged with people. They don't want to fix things because they're in survival mode. So it's all about me, 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 me. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times when we call people, you know, selfish, is because they're going through incredible amount of internal turmoil to help them fix themselves first before they can look after anybody else. So if you want to breed a society that looks after other people, people looking after other people, it's all about fixing mental health for me at least.
So, Doc, let's go to an email that we've got here from someone who's not depressed, but they're worried about conspiracy theories. It's from Lisa. She says, my dad has gone well and truly down the rabbit hole, and the algorithms are working super well to keep him feeding one conspiracy theory after the next when he searches for videos. It's becoming a bit of an obsession for him. He's literally just watching videos 5 to 8 hours a day. I feel like we're slowly losing him as he loses touch with reality. The last straw for me was me having to listen to him talk about tests done, which proved the Earth could indeed be flat, that there is no moon, and we live in a type of matrix or 3D dimensional illusion. I feel like I've lost my dad, and there's no reason. When I try to question in a nice and constructive way, he says he has an inquiring mind and it's good to question the status quo. He's super brainwashed, and he believes that we're all brainwashed. What would Dr. Hanan suggest would be the best way to get him out of this downward spiral, which I believe is starting to affect his relationships because he's feeling isolated and depressed? Or do I just accept him for what he wants to believe and let him be?
Mm.
Bad.
Right. So I'll offer three separate pieces of information that might be useful to you. First of all, every human being on planet Earth needs to make sense of their world. So we don't accept, brain does not accept things that don't make sense to us, that are valuable to us. So, and I say valuable to us because not everything is valuable, not everything you have to make sense of, but the things that are valuable to you that are not adding up, I call them open loops. The brain has to close that loop and make sense of that. So for example, if my child is not doing well, that's an open loop. I need to go and make sense of that. So I go to the doctor to close the loop.
Right.
If my marriage is struggling, that's important to me. I can't accept that. I need to go and figure it out and close that loop. If financially I'm insecure, if my work is not going well, if a particular friendship is not going great, my brain can't just accept that as something that doesn't make sense to me. It has to go out and search for an answer that closes that loop. So every human brain has to close a loop. And by the way, that's what creates anxiety. All anxiety is an open loop, something that doesn't make sense to me that I cannot make sense of. So that's why people attach themselves to any form of theories. Then that's their way of making sense of their world. That's why people attach themselves to esoteric things. Maybe people attach themselves to religion. Maybe people attach themselves to storybooks or learning new things or engaging with mentors. And by the way, engaging in cults as well, because that entity helps them close the loop, helps them make sense of a world that does not make sense to them. And conspiracy theories are no different. People attach themselves to conspiracy theories because they offer a solution. They offer an alternative to this does not make sense to me. So it offers them an answer to a part of their world that they deem important that suddenly makes sense to them. The problem these days, compared to 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, is the access to data and information. So now if you want to close the loop with anything, you can type on internet why eating sugar is good for you, why pornography is good for you, why doing drugs is good for you. And you'll find a blog by a scientist from Harvard that says and justifies exactly what your bias is, that closes that loop for you. So it's very easy to go down the rabbit hole and actually search and keep on searching and searching and searching in a world that really doesn't really close the loop. And that's all, by the way, that's what social media does. It almost closes the loop. It promises that it will close the loop in the next clip. In the next swipe. In the next. So it almost does it for you, but it says, just one more click and you'll get the answer that you need. So you click again and it goes, no, you're almost there. Just one more click and you click again. And that's how the cycle continues. And that's why her dad searches for 8 hours and 10 hours a day. And that's why the little kids these days, it's not uncommon for them to be on the laptop, on the computer, on the cell phones for 12, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18 hours a day, because it's almost there. I'm almost going to close the loop, but it's not yet there. So what is the solution? We got to see this problem as an addiction, because that's what addiction is. Addiction is an open loop, and the drug offers me an opportunity to close the loop. And the drug closes the loop, but then it opens again. And then I need to chase it again and again and again. But every time I chase it, the hit isn't quite as satisfying as the previous one. I've got to do more and more. So her dad didn't start with 8 hours. It started with 30 minutes. And then it went to 45 minutes. And then it went to an hour. An hour wasn't satisfying enough, and I turned to 8 hours. So my suggestion to her is to see her dad's addiction or her dad's need to go down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories as an addiction and to treat it as an addiction. And she might not have the power to control it, but he should certainly, or they should encourage him to go and seek professional help on how to get rid of or how to let go of this addiction.
Sure. It's really interesting. Hadn't thought of it like that.
I wonder.
It's also like a dopamine hit for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's also this reward mechanism that when you're trying to discover things for a curious mind, and I thought that was interesting. The part that hit me was her saying, well, he just says he has an inquiring mind. When I was a kid, I would read encyclopedias obsessively. And it was because I'd find something in an article about, you know, some wild animal that they discovered in the Amazon. And then there would be a word in there that I didn't understand. Then I'd look up that word. And it's a kind of rabbit hole too. But I was led to believe that there was nothing unhealthy about that. You're saying if it gets out of control and you have this open loop and it leads to obsessive behavior, that is an addiction.
For sure. So, Gareth, even let's take your case. So, for example, imagine you're reading something really interesting about a wild animal or maybe a far away place that nobody's discovered. And you're reading and the last sentence says, and this wild animal is known for, and then you turn the next page. And then it starts and goes, and this wild animal is known for, and you can't just get an answer. And you keep on turning and turning and turning. And this encyclopedia, this book, just does not give you the answer that you want.
No.
So what you're going to do is you're going to buy another encyclopedia and another book and another book. And before you know it, your whole world is filled with trying to figure out this one last missing piece that's been eluding you for, I don't know, ever many years. And that's what an addiction is. It just doesn't close the loop. And it entices you to go and search for more and more, because the next page, the next line, the next hit, the next shot is going to close the loop for you. And by the way, it becomes, that's not a, the issue, and the addiction is not the issue. The issue is how it starts taking over your life. So in the analogy, in your case, imagine now your whole room is filled with books and you've got no space for a table and a chair, and suddenly your kids can't come in, there's no space for your bed, now you're sleeping on the floor. Now when it starts taking over your life in unhealthy ways, that's an unhealthy addiction. Having a healthy addiction, in inverted commas, is beautiful because you keep on closing loops, moving on to the next thing, enriching your life, enhancing your life, moving forward, progressing, getting better. That's wonderful and has only positive effect on everything else in your life. If I go to the gym 1 hour a day, that has a positive effect and a domino effect on everything in my life. But suddenly when it starts taking over my life and affects my marriage and my health and my relationship with my kids and my work, then it becomes a problem.
All right. Well, I'm dangerously close to this kind of obsession then. That's what you're telling me. I mean, I got to watch myself. All of us do. But I mean, the internet has made these kinds of unhealthy obsessions available. It's
absolutely.
And people can do it while they're lying down. They can do it while they're sitting up. They can do it at work, at home. They can do it while they're driving a car. It's obviously not a good thing in that respect.
Yeah. But back in the day, Gareth, I mean, if you had to go and read something about an interesting animal, you'd have to get out the house. You'd have to go into the library. You have to go to your school's library, the public library. You had to go and engage with the real world, right. Ask a real person about what they know about these things. These days, you can do it anywhere, at any time, and the information, how do you know even if it's credible? But the accessibility to data and information is what enriches the cycle of open loop, closed loop in unhealthy ways.
Well, I hope this helps, Lisa, and thank you, Doc. We will chat to you again in a week's time. Have an awesome week this week, and we'll catch up soon.
Same to you guys.